Back here on the Mighty 690 at 740. It is time for our legislative update this morning. And joining us, we have State Representative Doug Blex, who is on the line. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning to you. Just doing good.
Hey, good to have you on here. So I know that y'all have been pretty busy up there in Topeka. A lot of stuff going on. Is anything slowing down at all, or is we just kind of keep going right along through?
Well, it's slowed down a little bit as far as the days of, you know, we're in kind of the turnaround where we look at the Senate bills and they look at the House bills. But one of the things that's been rather unique seemingly this year, we've had a lot of illness and bugs going around, and we've had probably 10 to maybe 12 legislators daily that, you know, are not present simply because of illness. So that's kind of slowed things down a little bit, but we are moving along pretty good, considering worked a lot of bills last week, a couple strong days on the floor, and a little bit lighter this past week, but you know, next week will be a full load too.
For sure. Well, hey, I wanted to start off with just a little bit about some of these conservation bills. I know that's a topic that's near and dear to your heart. So what do we know about these conservation-related bills that are coming up?
Well, we've had two. I introduced one in the Ag Committee early on in the session, Kansas Conservation Coalition, which is a fairly diverse group, about 30 members, I think, that are actually promoting a dedicated funding for conservation in the state of Kansas. Most of our border states, certainly Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, have some really good dedicated funding sources to where they actually fund conservation practices. And I worked with a group, and we come up with an idea that, well, we redirect some of the lottery and gaming money to conservation, and I figured, well, you know, that'd be a great idea to, you know, we're the stewards of the Lord's creation, and we could divert some of those sin tax money to promote conservation in the state of Kansas. Well, long story short, a lot of times we do things and they fall flat on our face. It didn't go well in committee. We had quite a bit of support, but we had quite a bit of opposition, and a lot of people were just scared of government overreach. The president's program of the 30-30 land grab has caught a lot of attention, both nationally and here locally. So people were apprehensive of that, and I've learned over the years sometimes you have to introduce a bill in 1 year and give some people time to think about it, work it, and then possibly that gets passed in the future years. So some of those processes can be rather lengthy, but the bottom line, that's kind of a good way to process a work. But, you know, I'm strongly a promoter of conservation, and certainly that includes stuff on the land for our farms. Certainly includes lands that we can, you know, the public can enjoy. So, anyhow, we'll work on that. It didn't go well in committee. I doubt that it comes out. It might later on, but we may be able to work it. But we had actually quite a bit of farm folks, Kansas corn growers, and Farm Bureau supporters. So that's always a good plus in an agricultural state like Kansas.
Yeah, I do appreciate you shedding a little bit of light on that, sir. And, you know, you also, I know, been working on a couple of ag-related bills, two specific bills. You want to go into some of the details for some of the livestock bill? I know there was one, and then another one a little bit related to salmonella there.
Okay, I'll cover those a little bit later. I kind of cut off a little bit. The second bill that we're going to work this Wednesday also talks about conservation districts. And conservation districts, you know, a lot of people know them. There's one in every county, the 105 counties, and they started back in the late, middle 30s during the Dust Bowl eras. I think actually LeBeck County was the first county in the state of Kansas to start a conservation district. I can't recall a date, but it was in the 30s, 35 or 36, somewhere in that time frame. And it's an important function, and it's kind of we have district managers that serve in there, commonly the Farm Service Agency buildings, like the one up in Independence on Peter Pan Road is kind of a point of contact where producers go in there and people come in. But a lot of times we have extension agents also in that same building. So it's really an important function, but historically we've really underfunded those and underpaid a lot of the district managers. And so I've been working with Representative Hoffman from out in Comanche County, and both of us previously served on the Board of Supervisors for the Conservation District. So we've got a little experience there. And basically what we're trying to do is currently right now these are funded by a state-local funding process. For example, in Montgomery County, the county commissioners will vote to fund the Conservation District in a certain amount. There's currently a cap of $25,000 that the state will match on an annual basis. So if Montgomery County, for example, and they usually do, provides $25,000, and the state of Kansas Division of Conservation will provide another $25,000. And that $50,000 goes to fund that position, the office operation, and a lot of other, day-to-day expenses. So the bottom line of it is some counties, for example, like Elk and Chautauqua, maybe only will afford, $12,000-$15,000 a year, and it's on a one-to-one match. So consequently, those counties receive, pretty meager funding, maybe $25,000-$30,000 total to operate the whole year long. So House Bill 2800 that we're going to work in Ag Committee on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and I believe we already got a lot of good support for it. I think it will go through, and basically it will provide a two-to-one match on the state side. So for every dollar the county commissioners put in to fund conservation districts, the state will match it at a ratio of 2-to-1. So, a good example of the county gives $15,000 and the state of Kansas would give $30,000. So that would bump up, give those district managers a working, livable salary. We have a lot of them that it's just kind of a revolving door. We train them and then they're gone. And it's really an important function. And I look at last year, the water bill we introduced that went provided some funding, but just looking at our area in southeast Kansas, we could utilize that money for, say, rural pond cleanouts. And a lot of pastures and land will only have one location to put a pond on that's adequate to catch water and hold water. So, and clean out of a pond is nasty and it's expensive. Normally, a dozer and a track hoe in combination. And if we'd had this bill and some of these monies in place, we could have actually done a cost share for area producers that could have provided whatever the board or supervisors wanted to allocate, as much as a 75-80% cost share on pond cleanouts. And of course, there'd be some parameters. They'd have to fence those cattle out of the pond, which anytime you use public tax money for a project, because it's expensive, it's easy to get $5,000-$6,000 wrapped up in a pond construction, particularly a clean out's even more expensive than building a new one. So what we could do is provide some cost share, require that to be fenced out. The cattle have clean water and the benefits, and certainly the nutrient loading that would normally, with cattle in a pond, that would normally be washed around during a high rain event and go into the streams and rivers and create problems for water treatment plants, nutrient loading, maybe high nitrates. That could all be solved. So whenever we use public money on, like, for example, my farm, if I have a cost share, part of that benefit should go to the public that's, maybe have higher expenses. So I'm really kind of excited about that bill. I'll be a strong proponent of it in Ag Committee next Wednesday, and I'm hoping that we can get that passed and through this year, and it will be a real big boost. It won't be a lot of money statewide. It'll be about $1.5 million money across the state. That's spread across the 105 counties. So it's a good bill. Hopefully it come in kind of late. We kind of got started on this late, and that'll be a slow process. But hopefully it'll work out and we can get it passed.
Yeah, I mean, that'll definitely be a good one. And help me understand, on those conservation districts, are those county by county, or are there any conservation districts that, like, do include several counties, or how does that work?
Well, generally speaking, and I have five counties, and most of them are county by county. However, some of the smaller counties, and a good example is our neighboring counties in my district, Chautauqua and Elk, both have a conservation district, but they actually share one district manager. So they work half-time for Chautauqua and half-time for Elk County. And so some of the smaller counties may have to join together and work in it. And technically, most of the work is done within county geographic boundaries. So it's kind of I won't say a turf issue, but sometimes a producer may have land that's half of it's in Montgomery County and half of it may be in Chautauqua County, and they have to sometimes work between both jurisdictions, and that causes some issues. But yeah, for the most part, it's one district per county, and in the urban areas where it's highly urban, they put on a lot of educational programs for the kids, educating kids about where our food comes from, rain barrels, birthday events, have a lot of poster contests that have a general theme. So we strive to get our kids some conservation education, and they work through the schools too. And that's a plus. And then, of course, the education to the producers. Some of the people that's been around a long time may not be aware of some of the new technologies that may be coming in. For example, a good example would be on a pond, when you fence it out, you can actually put in just a narrow access. I kind of affectionately call it a cattle boat ramp, where it's about a 15-foot access point, and it's fenced in with cattle panels on each side, and you actually restrict them to water, to get water, which they need daily, at a specific location, which reduces the amount of nutrient loading.
Gotcha. No, that is definitely a good thought on that. So, hey, we're about 3 minutes or so here left as our time together, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time to talk about some of these ag bills that you're working on coming up.
Well, a lot of people don't realize we passed House Bill 2543, which was we'd amend the process for applying for a livestock brand process that identifies animals. A lot of people aren't aware of branding. Cattle and horses are both branded, and when you select a brand design, you have to actually submit an application to the Kansas Livestock Commissioner, and they decide if that brand is already been taken. And some of these brands date back to the late 1880s. A lot of legacy and a lot of historical. It was actually designed to identify your animal. Certainly when they had the open range, where several landowners had cattle running together or potentially run together, that was a way of identifying. We all kind of remember those old westerns where people were changing brands and getting cattle under their brand. But basically, we amended that process to make it a five-year renewal, and a lot of people don't know that there's six locations that you brand an animal, and that can be a left or a right hip, a left or a right rib, or a left or a right shoulder. So I can have the same brand as you apply for, but if I put it on the hip, I'm okay, but if you put it on the shoulder, then you'd be okay. It could be the same model, but kind of an interesting concept, but it is important. But we did simplify that process, and we increased the fee application from $55, and that's a cap. They don't have to sweat it that to $100, but they'll have a five-year period there, and the Department of Ag estimates they have about 1,500 applications a year. So that's kind of a unique. A lot of people don't understand that process, but that's kind of how it works.
Excellent. Very good. And that is something that I think a lot of people find interesting. So as we kind of wrap up here, sir, anything else you'd like to bring to our attention?
Well, we also passed a bill on the hatcheries and chicken production factories that to keep Kansas pollen and typhoid disease-free, a clean state. And we're KDA, the Kansas Department of Ag, will offer diagnostic testing, and it's basically a salmonella type disease that is transmitted through the eggs, but it's real critical to keep. It's real devastating in young flocks, and so that bill will provide diagnostic testing services and keep Kansas a clean, free state, and even help the backyard local producer because it is a devastating disease, and you know, have a lot of die-offs. So we passed that bill also. And then we passed another one, a little bit unrelated, that would allow an advanced registered practice, APRN, I have to think about that, to be able to sign a death certificate. So we passed three bills on kind of emergency action this past yesterday. So hopefully those will get to the Senate and we can get a final action on them, put them into law.
All right. Well, we'll be following along with that progress, and I appreciate you bringing some of these to our attention. Some really interesting stuff, and, you know, I think that's stuff that people can definitely grasp and understand. As you know, some we get into some of these things, and it's just, make your head spin sometimes, but I think these all seem, pretty practical, a lot of common sense, some good stuff that you're working on, and we appreciate you doing all of that for us. So, sir, we appreciate the time together, and we hope that you have safe travels here as we go back and forth from Topeka, and look forward to chatting again here next month.
Yeah, good day, and we're having a forum at 9 o'clock at the Farm Bureau office in Independence tomorrow at 9. If you want to come in here, the senator and legislature and U.S. Senator Roger Marshall will plan on being there, so look forward to seeing you.
Okay, hey, that is really good. Appreciate letting us know on that. So, Representative Doug Blex, thank you so much for coming on the program. I hope you have a great weekend.